Now, a story that just caught fire.
An ugly truth in the beauty industry tonight. A New York Times expose finds the nail salon industry grossly exploits its workers.
Among the findings, the women often have to pay shop owners a fee to be hired and routinely share cramped, rundown living quarters.
New York's governor pledging to protect nail salon workers, many of whom earn low wages and are exposed to dangerous chemicals on a daily basis.
Yeah, the New York Times totally nailed it. In a span of 5 days, the Times two-part series on outrageous labor abuses and health risks for New York City manicurists appeared online, went viral, and prompted New York Governor Andrew Cuomo to pass emergency measures. It's muckraking at its most elemental. Identify a major problem, chronicle it, and trigger policy change. Consider even the elegant simplicity of its journogenesis, which reporter Sarah Neer recounted across the media last week. Here she is on NPR's Here and Now.
I was getting a pedicure at a 24-hour salon, which is an unusual salon in Koreatown in New York City. And it was in the morning, and I said to the woman, "This is such a crazy salon, 24 hours. Who does the night shift?" And she said, "I do the night shift." And I said, "But it's day." And she said, "I work 24 hours a day, 6 days a week. I sleep in a barracks above the salon. They shake me awake for night treatments. And on the seventh day, I go home and sleep for 24 hours, and I come right back." And I thought, this woman is enslaved. And I went back to my bosses, and they said, "Why don't you see if it's a larger phenomenon?" And then I did, and it was.
The impact of this story was striking. It wasn't accidental. So we're going to look at it as a kind of case study, not only for reporting, but for marketing. Michael Luo is deputy metro editor at the New York Times, where he runs the investigations team. He says the quality of the journalism, first and foremost, prompted the story's virality, but it also reflects a new approach in the wake of the Times Innovation Report, an internal document issued a year ago which reimagined the basics of engaging readers in a digital world.
So this story ran in print on Sunday and Monday, but we published it online on Thursday and Friday. It was a two-part series. I can't swear by it, but it may be the first time that we've run a story early that ran on the Sunday and Monday A-book, as we call it, the sort of news part of the paper. And the other thing that is completely distinctive about the Nails series was the decision to publish it in three other languages, Korean, Chinese, and Spanish. We've done some translations of stories before, but we've never undertaken anything this ambitious. 6,000 words on day one, 4,000 words on day two. We did social media posts in different languages. We took comments in different languages. And that decision was both a journalism one and an audience development one. On the journalism side, we wanted these workers to be able to read their stories in their own languages. Most of these workers didn't speak or read English. From an audience development side, we thought there was a potential for these stories to get traction overseas, particularly in Korea. And the Korean media actually really jumped on this because this is the first time we've done that.
One of the aspects of this story that intrigues me is that in some ways it is the apotheosis of the Times' new approach to delivering the news. On the other hand, it is such a throwback to the muckraking of, I don't know, Upton Sinclair and Ida Tarbell and others from more than a century ago.
Right. I mean, content in the end is king. When this project was proposed and it was Sarah's idea, the thing that struck people right away was this had the chance to resonate really, really broadly because of how manicures have become part of the grooming rituals of so many women and seen as sort of de rigueur. There was somebody who tweeted that every single woman I've talked to in New York City in the last 3 days has read this story. And that might have been a bit hyperbolic, but it actually felt that way.
Okay, Michael, stipulated, as you say, content is king, and this is an exercise in journalism, you say, more than that of marketing. That said, because of the success of the nail salon story, do you think there's going to be an explicit or just tacit checklist of characteristics that every box has to be checked for the Times to invest resources on future investigations?
I mean, when you're evaluating investigative ideas and targets, you're looking for things like real serious consequences. So as an investigative reporter, I often looked for issues where people were dying, lives were at stake. But you are also thinking about, okay, does it have a broader resonance? That obviously is not going to dictate, after all, when you think about Metro's investigative team, the story that has probably been best known in the past year is our work on brutality at Rikers Island by Mike Schwartz and Mike Weinrip. And that project, which we invested a lot of time and resources into, obviously wasn't something that was exactly a viral subject. When you conceive of a project like that, you do think about, you know, readers aren't necessarily going to relate. But obviously, we take seriously our mandate of shining the light into dark places that people aren't aware of. And in this case, it happened to be an area that appeals to a lot of people. Actually, in a couple of weeks, going to come out with another major project, and it's the exact opposite. It's not going to be a subject matter a lot of people, our readers, will relate to, but we're going to take people into that world.
So you can disabuse my fear. I don't have to worry about some sort of investigative clickbait being what rules the day.
I'm not oblivious to the potential fallout of a story that drew so much attention. And when we are sitting around talking about story targets, I could see somebody piping in and saying on some XYZ subject, could this be the next Nails? But I mean, in the end, particularly on investigative stories, the biggest thing we're looking at is just good stories. There has never been a case where somebody proposes a subject and if it has serious import that, you know, we would ever say, oh, don't pursue it because, oh, it's not going to go viral. There's a deep lineage of old-fashioned investigative reporting at the leadership of the New York Times, and it would never descend to that point of judging ambition on projects based on clicks.
Michael, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Michael Luo is Deputy Metro Editor at the New York Times, where he runs the investigations team.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.